All right, how's this? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now everybody has to wake up. Oh, that's terrible. Good morning. Glad that all of you are here. If you would please do us a favor of registering your attendance in the attendance pad on the pew with you and then putting in the offering plate later so that we can get a count of how many folks are here. We also want to welcome those who are watching online from no telling where, but we're delighted to have you. And if you would make some comment about your presence, that way we can get a more accurate count of how many people participated in worship this morning. Obviously, I'm not Sherry. Sherry is at General Conference being held in Charlotte, North Carolina this week. Started this past week and will continue through Friday of this coming week. So she and a lot of delegates are doing some very important work on behalf of the United Methodist Church there. And so we should remember them and keep them in our thoughts and prayers this week. I'm going to go ahead and ask Bob if he would come and say a word about the Alleluia offering.
Good morning. The Alleluia offering was started several years ago, not only to fund special projects, but to also emphasize the importance of tithing. We were challenged at that time to tithe on our income during Holy Week, above and beyond our regular giving. And I remember thinking back then that if we did that all year long, we would have a budget of over $1.5 million, and all the things that we could do with that money, all the ministries we could have in the church with that. But this year's Alleluia offering not only exceeded last year's, but it was also the second largest giving since that started. So the total this year was $31,571, and that was above and beyond our regular giving. So the offering will be used to fund a retreat for this year's confirmation class, which I understand there's 15 in that class. It will allow enhancements in our worship services and to fund new ministries. On behalf of the church and the generosity team, I want to say a thank you to you for your generosity and for supporting the ministries and needs of this church. I also want to challenge each of you to consider not only tithing that one week during Holy Week, but make it a priority all year long. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for that great report. And thank you, all of you, for the support that you give to the church. Okay, in your bulletin, there should have been a pink sheet that tells you about ordering roses for Mother's Day. Next Sunday, we will recognize our high school seniors. On the 15th of next month is the church picnic. Confirmation Sunday is the 19th. And there will be no 11 o'clock Bible study, 11 a.m. Bible study this week because Sherry is away. Yes, and the flood buckets. How can you forget the flood buckets? You can see to your left and to your right that we have flood buckets, and on the buckets are a list of items that are needed to be placed in the bucket, and these buckets are used in times of emergencies, in times of hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and that sort of thing. So if you take a list, then you know it's kind of extensive, and if you want to share that list with one or two people, that would be great. Or if there's any item on the list that you would like to get, you can place that item in red buckets, red tubs that are placed throughout the facilities. And all of this needs to take place by May the 20th. Okay, if there are no other announcements. Oh, yes, yes, thank you. The choir from Gadsden State will be singing here at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we look forward to that. So, all right, any other announcements I forgot? Pickleball. We can't forget pickleball, and it's from 2 to 4 in the gym. Okay. I'm still waiting for the guy that's supposed to bring that outstanding sermon today, and I haven't seen hide or hair of him. So maybe he'll show up for long. Let us continue in our worship. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, for we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
this morning is hymn number 694, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come. Join us as we stand and sing.
Please remain standing as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin or on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated. And let us pray. As we come together to share our blessings, O God, We ask that you give us joyful hearts for this ability to serve and to minister and to reach out to others through our gifts. Bless these gifts that they might in some way increase your kingdom, make your word known, and spread your love all abroad. Thank you for loving us and for the opportunity to give and share. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. There are many needs in our community and in our community of faith, and I would remind you to remember all the families and individuals who have these very special needs in their lives at this time, that we would remember them not only in prayers, but in our service as well. Let us pray. Holy God, we have come to celebrate the gift of your love for us. You have nurtured us and nourished us and strengthened us through that love. And we give you thanks. We give you thanks also that you have called us to be a community of faith, to live out our faith in the midst of others, to share our faith with others, to give our love to one another, to be understanding and open to the needs of those about and around us. We thank you, God, that through Christ we have found life to be eternal. And through his resurrection, we celebrate that life, that gift. But we also celebrate our calling to follow him and to be a disciple. Make us worthy of that calling, for only you can do that. Forgive us of our sin, but make us whole, and hold before us the challenge of being more Christ-like in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. We thank you for the gift of this beautiful day. We are reminded that you have made this day, that you have created all that there is, and that your creation is good. Make us good stewards of that creation. Let us to use that creation as it was intended, and not simply for profit or gain, but for the benefit of all people. We thank you for those who are gathered here with us and for their witness, their faith, their acceptance. We thank you for the church everywhere, and especially, oh God, we would remember the United Methodist Church in this moment as they gather in Charlotte, making important decisions that will affect us all. Guide them with your spirit. May indeed it be a spirit of wisdom and compassion. We are grateful as we contemplate the meaning of the church and its significance for those young lives who are preparing themselves for membership in your church. And so we offer to you the names of Anna Kate, Ava, Emily, Haley, Iris, Jace, Jade, Kennedy, Lydia, Maddie, Maggie, Maya, Miko, Merritt, Sarah, and Sarah Kate. We thank you that you will bless your church in the future through the lives of these people, these young people. May we be open to their leadership and to their wisdom and to their thoughts and their needs as we gather as members of their family to celebrate their lives. Guide us in this service that we might offer ourselves to you, the one true offering that you most desire. Bind us together. Not that we would agree upon everything, but that we would be of one spirit, listening and caring and loving each other. And of course, oh God, we remember Christ our Lord, the sacrifices he made for us, his resurrection for us, and his love for us. And we remember as his disciples the prayer that he has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, our children are now dismissed to go with Miss Catherine to Children's Church.
Our hymn of preparation is hymn number 700, Abide With Me, as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
seated. Wow. And now I have to preach. Oh. But Ethan, Benny, Rhonda, and choir members, thank you so very much. That was just outstanding. And if you go away from the service remembering one thing, remember what they, the message they shared with us through their unique and wonderful talent. I'm not used to being up here, and you probably know that. It's probably very obvious. I'm a little rusty, and I hope to have you out of here by 2:30. And I hope that, the good Lord will some way speak to us through our being together, and he has already through our choir presentation so very much. The text this morning, I'm going to read just one verse, and it's kind of a composite of several verses, and it's the first verse of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, my goal this morning is twofold. First of all, I want to talk about what it means to be a part of the community of faith, using this analogy of being branches on a vine. And then I want to go into a short lesson on horticulture. And we'll talk about growing vines a little bit. But, what do you think? What's your image of being in relationship with Christ, of living on the vine, being a branch off the vine? Well, one common belief is that those who are connected to the vine never have difficulty sharing their faith. In a heartbeat, they can eloquently talk about their faith and walk with Jesus in ways that move and convert people. They're never embarrassed if asked what they believe, or never shy or reluctant to answer. But what do others outside our community think? Well, probably one of the most pressing questions they have is, do you practice what you preach? Do you walk the walk? Do you talk the talk? Are you faithful followers of Jesus Christ? Do you exhibit his love everywhere that you go? Or are you something less, something else? You know, some people think that we as Christians understand what happens to us every day of our lives, or at least have the grace or the forewithal to accept whatever comes. That we have no doubts, we're never afraid, and that we have absolute confidence that we are in God's hands, and that no matter what happens, God will take care of us. And when we say our prayers at night, God speaks directly to us back through them. Now, I don't qualify for a lot of that. You may. I'm not your judge. I don't know. But another important belief of those who are kind of on the outside looking in is that we consistently encounter worship as a meaningful experience. That we leave the church and go out and act on whatever the preacher says. I'm trying not to laugh because I don't want to be rude, but I don't even go out and take into serious contention everything I say, but I should. I fail. I'm not perfect by any means. But some of people on the outside believe that we believe in every word of the Apostles' Creed, and that we have a spiritual experience every time we receive communion. That we're never bored or disagreeable or feel left out. There's an absolute steadfast sense of belonging to God and to one another. Well, that may be an ideal picture of what we should be, but I don't think that we quite measure up sometimes. But what do you think about yourself? What spiritual goal have you placed so high that it's become impossible to attain? I mean, do you not pray enough? Or share the faith enough? Or read or study enough? Are you not knowledgeable enough? Or enthusiastic enough? are certain enough about what you believe, whatever it is, please stop. Please stop. Because it's not what you believe and not what you think that makes you belong to the body of Christ. You are connected to Christ and you belong on this vine simply because God says you belong. Not because of who you are or what you've done, but because you are loved by God. So with that said, let's ask the question, what are we as Christians really like? Well, some days our faith is outstanding. Other days, it's quite pitiful. Some days we have enough faith to move mountains, and other days we don't have enough faith to get out of bed. One Christian says that she has a deep and abiding faith in God that comes and goes. Another believer, Christian believer, declares, I believe in God frequently. And another Christian says, you know, I'm kind of like the Athenians that Paul preached to in Athens in Acts, worshiping an unknown God. We struggle. Is that not the truth? That's who we are. We struggle. Like Bob, who is a priest in Oklahoma. I do know my geography most of the time. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, who went on a weekend retreat, a Crucio, which is very much like our Emmaus walk in the United Methodist Church. And so during that three-day weekend, he wanted to pray to God over and over again for God to put somebody in his path, in his life, that he could share his faith and make a difference. So Monday morning, bright and early, Bob is on his way up to his office in an elevator, and he offers a little prayer that God will put someone in need in his life very soon. The elevator opens, Bob steps off, and one of his co-workers asks to speak with him about a spiritual crisis. God looks at him and says, you know, I've been away for the whole weekend and I'm behind in my work. You'll have to come back later. Well, so much for elevator prayers. I'll stick to praying that the elevator works as intended and it gets me to the next floor. But the truth is, we struggle. All of us struggle. We try and fail, and we're disappointed in ourselves. Or others make us promises they don't keep, and we're disappointed in them. We struggle. All of us struggle. And if you read your Bible, it's a story of people trying and failing and struggling, trying over and over again. But the one message that remains constant and unchanging is that these people are loved by God. You know, we live life on this vine as branches because, not because we are certain of God, but because God is certain of us. No one, no action can take us off this vine. So be patient with yourselves and be patient with one another, for all of us are in this together. We need each other. We depend upon one another. We're on the vine because of the extravagance of God's love. The vine grower loves us before we are born and loves us through all eternity. He loves us so much that he has given us a divine connection to this vine, and that is Jesus Christ. Each of us are a branch connected to this vine, and by this connection, we become more centered in God, more Christ-like, more made over in the image of Christ and a carrier of the love of Christ. But a vine just doesn't grow vertically. It also branches out horizontally. We depend upon each other. We need each other. You know, we come into this world needing other people. As mere infants, we could not survive except for other people. A mother's love, a family circle. We all need to be interconnected and independent upon our connections. We are born needing those connections, depending upon those connections. Our very survival is dependent upon connections with other people. And there's all kinds of communities in this church to help us be connected. There's Men at the Well Bible study. There's Sherry's Bible study and Harriet's Bible study. There's United Women of Faith. There's the Clothes Closet, the Ladle of Love Soup Kitchen, the choir, the youth ministry, children's ministry, Sunday school class, exercise group, pickleball. Gift to Gadsden, yes, thank you. There's volunteer receptionists and ushers and greeters and others. There's all kinds of ways that we can be connected in service and with one another. So we are cared for on this vine by the love of Christ and by the love of Christ in each other. We need one another. We depend upon one another. We grow because of others. So let's relax a little bit. Yes, we struggle, but let's relax. Let's just take a moment to take a deep breath and to realize there's nothing that we can do to change our connection to the vine. I mean, after all, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. Now, there may be some things in our lives that need to be discarded, to be pruned away, like addictions and need for control and self-centeredness and other things. But the one who grows the vine and causes it to grow, God never gives up on us throughout all eternity. But if we read the whole verse, or the whole text this morning, we might run across some verses that cause us a little concern about what happens to unproductive branches. In order to understand what's being said here, we actually need to go back to the original Greek language and to realize there's a Greek word here that for takes away, that is area, which means lift up or takes away, but it never means cut off. It never means cut off, okay? So how are we to know which translation to use, whether it's lifts up or takes away? Go to a vine dresser. Go to some farmer that works with his hands and gives his soul and body to care of the grapevines. And what is it they do? Well, you see, if a grapevine is left alone, unattended, the branches will run across the ground and they will try to put down little roots. But those little roots are not capable of sustaining life on that vine. The branches will produce small, awful-looking, sour grapes that are not fit for consumption. But that's not what you want from a grapevine, is it? So the vine dresser will come along, and he knows that, first of all, those branches can't produce anything worthwhile as long as they are on the ground trying to draw their nutrients from the soil. The nutrients for these branches come from the vine, which has deep roots. And if they don't allow the nourishment of the vine to be a part of their existence, then they're not going to produce grapes, at least grapes that are edible. So a vine dresser comes along and he sees his branch lying on the ground, and he knows that what they need is not the nutrients from the soil, which they can't get through their little roots, but to get their nutrients with the vine, because the vine's root system is deep. And so what does he do? He lifts up the vines, the branch, off the ground and supports it either with a trellis or with lattice work. This way, the branch has no choice but to draw all of its nutrients, not from the soil in which it is no longer in contact, but with the vine. And it can produce many sweet clusters of grapes. So far from taking it away or cutting it off, the word area depicts the tender and loving care of the Father on us, his children. And when he wants us to produce more fruit, this is not a picture of judgment or of the unproductive branch, but completely the opposite, where the grace of God reaches out to meet the needs of the branches, to be nourished, to be cared for, to produce fruit. You see, if a vine dresser always cut off unproductive branches, he would grow no grapes, because at one point or another, all the branches are unproductive. But rather, he lifts up. God, the vine dresser, lifts us up, gives us nourishment through Christ so that we might be productive. Lifts us up so that we might feel the warmth of his love and light and get nutrients from the vine. So, my dear leafy friends, as we are connected to the vine, the risen Christ runs through our blood like sap, nurturing us through community, giving us new and old branches more fruit than we can ever believe possible. This world is so hungry and so thirsty. What could be better than be a living branch attached to this vine of love, fed and cared for by Christ and by each other? Be productive. But first, rely upon the grace of God and his goodness to make you productive. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
grow from this place of worship into the world, so that where there is celebration, you might celebrate, and where there is sorrow, you might bring joy, and where there is strife, you might bring peace, and where there is an emptiness, a void, you might bring love. Go in the name of Christ. Amen.